In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I will read the aforementioned Word of God from the first book of Corinthians, its 15th chapter, its first 10 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Amen.
There. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, first, I feel my own poorness and sinfulness, and I wish to dip the gospel from the fountains of the gospel. May I believe my own sins forgiven. Congregation preaches forgiveness. I desire to believe. Next, I wish to believe brotherly and loving greetings from Sweden, where we have experienced the great blessing of God, and also from Norway, where we have also experienced God's blessings in all that we have done. We can, with big smiles, remember the services that have passed of Maundy, Thursday, and summer services. Many of you from Finland were also there with us. If we would now visit this text, it was from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul had been in Corinth. He was there for an extended time. He had come from Athens, and many of his believing friends, Aquila and Priscilla, they had shared a profession, tent makers. There they together worked in their own temporal works, but then on the Sabbath days they went into the synagogue, and Paul did not hide this most important gift that he had, but he confessed his faith where he was, and the word of God had effect. There were many who desired to believe, and as Paul, they accepted the gospel. This was actually a dangerous trip for Paul, for him to go into the synagogue And nonetheless, the head of the synagogue, he also repented, and this enmity towards Paul grew, and Paul was fearful. He was only a person, but the Lord appeared unto him as he had once appeared to him on the way to Damascus and said, "Nobody shall harm you. Speak, for I have many people here in this city. Speak and do not be silent." And so a small congregation was born in that city, which was a very sinful city. We won't now remember much about Corinth now, but it was a nest of sin of that time. Then Paul writes at least two letters to Corinthians. Perhaps there were more. And here in our text, he begins, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Paul understood, as we understand, that the gospel is as a chain. He himself first had received the forgiveness of sins, and at the same time he received power to preach the forgiveness of sins and speak of this treasure to whom would hear. And so it is. We understand in exactly the same way. I think that there are many small children in the campers and maybe even in this tent. You young children have the exact same authority that we older speakers or any other one of God's children has to preach the forgiveness of sins. I remember many years ago in a certain believer's home. We did not visit there often when they were from Finland and we were from Finland, but there were children in that family, smaller, younger, and elder children. And there was one elder person who greeted us with God's peace that I didn't know. And then, as evening approached, we prepared for departure to summer services, and this elder person departed. And we asked, "Who is this neighbor?" And they said, "He was a neighbor. He had been an unbelieving neighbor, and the children would go and play in his yard. And then one day after Sunday school, the children went to play again in his yard. And this elder had asked that, what's new with you children? How is it going?" And there was a slightly bolder young girl there. And she said spontaneously, "There we spoke of Jesus, and there we heard that we could believe all sins forgiven." And then continued, you can also believe all your sins forgiven if you wish. And this old grandpa went quietly. He said, "I have much sin, but I do wish to believe. Can you children preach unto me that gospel?" And they preached unto him the forgiveness of all his sins. This grandpa became a dear neighbor, a dear friend of the family. And then when we were there, he prepared, together with his family, his first summer service trip. So remember, you young children, that you have this same authority that Paul also once had to preach the forgiveness of sins to a penitent person. Here Paul lovingly speaks of the gospel. We understand by believing the gospel, we get to heaven. I have myself thought a long time as a speaker of the glory of heaven, and how great a matter this is on my own behalf. It seems I am so small, and yet heaven is so great in some way. The Bible speaks of heaven as if behind a darkened curtain. But you children have learned, as a believing mother had once said, that heaven is a good place and it pays to strive to reach heaven. Maybe I could borrow from the words of a Song of Zion, where it speaks what it is like to be with God. And this is the understanding of the songwriter, that beside God, a song of thanks will resound, and all that is temporal is left behind. We may see that of which we believed when we make journey on this cloudy road to heaven. In heaven, we only give thanks. We no longer ask. Neither do we beg for the forgiveness of sins, neither do we remember what went poorly, but only there is heard the singing of thanks. All that is temporal has remained behind. Maybe not all that has been temporal, but the love of God which we have here, it comes all the way to heaven. And how can we even understand this love of God a little bit? I have thought this way. I don't know. I have this thought that when a mother gives birth to a small child, this child has not in any way earned the love of the mother, yet the mother, with all her power and heart, loves this newborn child. Not in this way that she had received something from this child, but nonetheless, she loves the child. And marriage is also this way. We wait for one another when we love each other. But, and perhaps in marriage, it's somewhat earned from the other. But with a child, it is not so, but it is strictly unearned love. The mother loves the child, and so is the love of God for his children. Not for this reason that we have done something or diligently attended service or succeeded in some way, or we have traveled better than the other children of God, but for this reason that we are his children and we believe upon him and God loves us. And then this text continues. Paul said,
sano näin, että minä teille olen ilmoittanut, ellette hukkaan ole uskoneet.
And he says that he wishes that they would not believe in vain. Can we believe in vain? Yes, it could happen. We have many friends that have been believers, and now their place in the benches in God's kingdom are empty. We carry them in our prayers, but they have chosen their way, the steps they take. And there are many elder believers here at services, and perhaps also they're listening online. And you have many years come to services. Has the enemy of souls left you in peace? You may freely believe that you may freely believe. I am sure you would answer that you would say, no, he has not left you in peace. On to the very last step, the enemy of souls tempts that he may get you to fall and that you would believe in vain, as Paul here writes. It does not help that many years of believing are behind if today we would deny our faith. Fortunately, it is this way also, that if we would receive the grace of repentance at the last moment, then our unbelief would no longer be remembered. In the following verse, this is familiar in our confession of faith in verses 3 and 4. For Paul continues, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In the Apostles' Confession or Creed, we have borrowed these words, which we will also read soon together. In those verses, is these words, according to the Scriptures. Isn't it comforting to know that our doctrine and life of faith is not based on feelings, but it is based on the aforewritten Word of God? I remember myself many years ago when I studied theology. It felt so comforting to know that we can truly believe the Word of God. I think of you young theology students who are studying to be pappis, that we would ask God for strength and wisdom, that when it would be our turn to speak in churches, and perhaps no believing person would be present, or perhaps in some school environment where there would be no believers, that even then we would dare to confess our faith and to preach boldly the gospel of Jesus. For our faith is truly founded on a sure foundation. It is founded on the Scriptures. And then Paul goes to the core of the matter and says, and that he was buried and that he rose again. I have in my hand an older Bible from 1973. It is dear to me. I always use it when I prepare for a service, even though it is a bit worn out now. It reads, in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it reads, old things have perished. Behold, I make all things new. Before, the Old Testament had been in power, and there was a worship service of the Old Testament, and it was looked to in faith the birth of the New Testament and of a Savior. But when God's only Son was born, then the Old Testament worship was no longer needed. Then our sins were atoned for. I have also taught many confirmation students. We have borrowed this portion and shared it with our students, that we are in a church. Do you know what is the highest point in a church, even in our churches? And some would say the cross. And we had said, well, it is not. Go look outside and see what is the highest point of the church. Then the students rushed back in and said, some kind of pin. And we asked, well, what is it? And somebody in the group knew what it was. It was a lightning rod. And what is the purpose of the lightning rod? It directs harmful flashes of lightning that it would be directed into the ground. And this is what Christ has done for us. He was as if a lightning rod. The wrath of God struck him, which had been intended for you and for me because of our sins. And Jesus took this wrath upon himself that we would not die. This is only a temporal picture, but I think you understand and perhaps you have heard it before. And then our text continues, how speaks how Jesus was buried. Of that we could see more, but only this I would say, that at that time, somebody who had died upon the cross, their burial place should have been in some common grave, but according to prophecy of Jesus, his death grave was not such, but it was among the rich. And then it speaks here of the resurrection and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The resurrection, we hear about this during Easter. The angels came and pushed the stone away from the grave, and the guards fell to the ground as dead. And the grave was already empty. The angels did not take Jesus out of the grave. Jesus had already risen from the grave. God had sent his son to die and to rise from the grave and to one day raise us all from the grave. That belief in the resurrection is so important. And it is a beloved, dear faith. It is so dear that Paul, in the same letter, says of the resurrection. Verses 14-17 of this same chapter. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And your faith is also vain, and in verse 17 strengthens us. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. It is so foundational matter, this resurrection and faith in the resurrection. And we remember how Paul had to confess his faith, among other places, to the governor Felix when Paul said, I keep this hope in God, which they also have, that there is a resurrection of the dead, of the righteous, and of the unrighteousness. And he says furthermore, and for that reason I strive to keep a conscience void of offense always towards God and towards man. And why is faith in the resurrection such a beautiful matter? Is it not for this reason that to it contains or is coupled this, that we again have hope of seeing? This hope of meeting once again is such that our own temporal understanding cannot comprehend it. It can only be understood with the faith of a child. Nonetheless, it is our understanding in faith and a very foundational understanding of our faith that one day we will again see one another in the glory of heaven. And then our text continues. Verses 5, 6, 7 are unique verses in the Bible. Although they speak of a great matter during the time of the apostles, there is not, as elsewhere mentioned in the Bible, what these verses speak of, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After
Muistan kun nuorena miehenä innostuin lukemaan.
I remember I as a young man was interested in reading the Bible and I came to this portion. Where are these portions where it tells that he met these and they are not found? I only found this portion where Jesus first appeared unto Peter. It speaks of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then he met with Peter. But I also saw that Jesus, the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus, met with travelers on their way to Emmaus. Other than that, in these verses, we don't know where these encounters happened. And then these things which were evident at that time, it says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. 500 is a lot of people to be gathered together, and Paul writes that many of that group were yet alive. And this encounter is not recorded elsewhere in the Bible. This kind of writing in the Bible, it is a faith primer, and it teaches us that Christ did rise from the dead. It is in some ways historical, but at the same time, perhaps it's a side note. And Paul continues, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. We remember Paul on the way to Damascus. I won't go into it deeply, but we remember that. But we remember that based on this, Paul considered himself the 13th apostle. We remember his earlier life, where if pretend we had a bad wound and it was taken care of poorly, it may remain with us for the rest of our life. Paul had remained a wound in his heart because of that life which he previously lived, because he thought that he did good when he was persecuting God's children. And for that reason, I am the least of all the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Nonetheless, Paul, as you, brothers and sisters, has received all his sins forgiven. There was this meeting in Ephesus, and Paul came there, and he was imprisoned, and he was told in prison, was it in prison, that he would be brought to Rome, and there he would die. And the believers of Ephesus, when they heard Paul tell of this, they said, it should not happen this way. They remembered how Paul had previously persecuted them when he was Saul, and they remembered that all had been forgiven. And isn't it this way for us, that all poor matters which are forgiven, don't we wish that they would be forgotten? Not one of us would wish that our children would remember that flesh and blood of their parents, those poor actions of their parents, but that they would remember that one poor traveler has reached the destination. Those bad matters have been put where they belong, into the bottom of the sea of grace, where no the enemy of soul can pull up no sin. And then Paul, as if concludes, as I conclude my service, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored. The grace of God is so great. We cannot even explain it briefly to somebody who has not experienced it. But these Upisto services are services of the youth. When I came in the evening together with my wife, this tent was full of youth. And I think this way. This enemy of souls, he tempts the elders, he tempts all ages, but above all, he tempts the young child of God. I thought also this way. We do not know what mind or what heart we have come to these services. Perhaps some youth has come with a thought of having a final visit to God's kingdom, but remain, continue to have strength. Do not choose a different way. We do not know, has someone with these temptations come to this place, but if one such has come, I wish to borrow the Song of Zion, especially to you. Listen, dear friend, beloved, Jesus speaks directly to you. Come beside me and find your place, a place where the tempted can find rested. As you may feel here among the fellowship of God's children, here you hear the word of grace, you hear the word of forgiveness of sins, and you hear Jesus Christ amongst his own. Look, here is the throne of grace, brings comforting words from heaven. Blood was poured on Golgotha to cleanse us from our sins. Dear travel friend, here, who are soon coming to the communion table, or there besides the internet, who perhaps listen alone in your car or together with your large family at home or wherever you may be, remain even at this moment believing all sins, all temptations, all doubts forgiven in the name and blood of our Lord Jesus. This gospel, believing this gospel, it is good to come to the table of communion and to continue the journey in faith wherever you may be and wherever we go as we slowly depart from this place. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together with one voice. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.